WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Friday morning. Fun Friday brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. And our Fun Friday question today, what is the worst Christmas song? And we're getting some good responses from people. We also have the suspect now dead in the Brown University shooting. And turns out same person involved in the shooting of the professor at MIT. I know there had been some... law enforcement had said, and investigators had said that they didn't see a link to that at first, but then once they started to understand who this person was, then it started to pull everything together. And again, this all came about because a person came forward and said, I think I did see something, and I had an encounter with somebody, and I am the person that you put out in that video, still footage rather, saying that you were looking for this person to speak to. That's me. And it was a custodian in that building at Brown University who saw this person a few days before and questioned what they were doing there and had a couple of interactions with them and realized that he was kind of hanging out around the campus in this particular car. And then the law enforcement was able to use that car to essentially trace him to where he rented the car from and get an identity on him. And that car tied him into the Brookline shooting. And then they were able to trace all that information back to the storage unit in Salem, New Hampshire, where they found him dead. He had taken his own life. He had two firearms next to his body. They found the mask. They found the jacket all in the car. So it all kind of came together. The only thing that hasn't come together yet, though, is the motive. They're working on that and trying to find more on that. And, of course, you know, there's not going to be a trial. So they can only kind of piece together what they can, but they're going to continue giving us updates on all of that. And I got there was a question yesterday, and it came up on Chris's show where somebody asked why, when you see these updates from the Providence police, Providence mayor, why you see the sign language, the ASL interpreter, I should say, the ASL interpreter, why that person is making these dramatic faces. And they're wondering why, you know, they're so animated, why they're so, the faces don't always seem to necessarily go with the seriousness of the discussion, and that it can be distracting to people that don't need to utilize that service. And so they were wondering why that is. Well, let me tell you, I asked that same question in 2020, when we were getting the, you know, coronavirus updates, the COVID updates, and I kind of just put a post up on social media. I forget what the joke was, but I tried to make a joke about the woman who was doing the ASL interpreting behind Charlie Baker, and I was talking about the dramatics, the overdramatics of the faces and the movements and all of that. And a friend of mine who is an ASL interpreter, she kind of gave me a good lecture on this and kind of explained the whole thing to me. So the reason why they make those dramatic faces is that's part of the communication process for ASL. So ASL is not a direct English translation. It's not a direct, it's its own language. So it has its own sentence structure, its own syntax. It has its own way of expressing the ideas. So it's not as if everything that person is saying, that's speaking, is being directly translated by the hands. They would never be able to keep up with that. Their hands would fall off. And a lot of the times they would have to spell out individual words because there may not be a word for it. So if you're giving somebody's name, for example, they'd have to be like, and so it really doesn't work out to try to do everything just via hands. So the facial expressions are part of the syntax of ASL. And it helps to convey what the tone is. So the same way when you write something and somebody's like you might write a, you know, something in a text message and the person comes back and says, well, why are you being a jerk? And you're like, what? No, I was wishing you well. Oh, I get it. You know, because they can't understand the tone of what you meant in the written word. And by the same token, you can't understand the tone in sign language, in ASL, if it's just the hand movements. You would never know what the tone is. So the facial expressions help to convey tone. So if it's something that is being, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, I ate a whole pizza and they could sign that out. But then, you know, you might be asking a question. I ate a whole pizza? Like, how did I do that? And in order to convey that tone of it being a question, it's still the same words that are being used, but you wouldn't get the tone. And so the facial expression helps to convey that tone. So that's why it may look silly to you, but it's important to the person that's relying on that ASL. And then the other question is, well, why do they have ASL signers when, you know, we have closed captioning TV? Well, because not every closed captioning is quick and speedy and accurate. And in this particular case, they want to make sure the information that's going out is accurate. They don't want there to be a mistake or something misspoken or mistyped in that closed captioning translation, especially now that it's AI assisted and there isn't somebody necessarily doing it manually. And then people say, well, you know, I don't remember this being a thing until, you know, maybe until COVID. I don't remember people doing these faces. And so that's a couple of things. One is they were, but you probably just weren't seeing them on camera as much because we didn't have widescreen TVs. We didn't have high definition TVs. So they weren't putting that, they weren't having as wide of a shot in a lot of the cases. And then the other part of it too is the people who rely on ASL had started a movement to say, you know, we need more descriptive translations. So when they were having these conversations on a daily basis, you know, one-on-one in a classroom, whatever it may be, they were getting those emotions. They were getting those faces. They were getting that interaction. But when they were doing these public updates, the person wouldn't do that for the reasons of what we're saying, that people might have found it to be a distraction or what have you, or they weren't taking it seriously, what was being discussed. And so there was a reluctance to incorporate that into these live press events. And so I guess there was a movement within the community that needs the ASL to say, please start doing that. And so that's why you started to see more of it. And really, you know, that's kind of the thumbnail sketch of what it's all about. But it's necessary. Just know that. It's not somebody just, you know, oh, I'm on camera. Let me make sure all the attention's on me. That's not the case at all. In fact, I'm sure, you know, the people who are up there doing it are hoping that the people who are not hearing challenged are, you know, not focused on them. 508-996-0500. We have a couple of other stories that we can discuss in addition to the suspect being identified and dead in the Brown University and MIT professor shootings. He is a Portuguese national, by the way. He's originally from Portugal. He came here on a student visa in 2000 to attend Brown University. He went to Brown and studied physics. He studied in that building. And as was being said by a lot of the people who know about Brown, he probably spent all of his time in that building, because all of his classes likely would have been in that building. He only took physics classes when he came here. He was on a graduate program. He was going for a doctorate. So it wasn't like he was, you know, taking undergrad courses and going all over the campus. This would have been an area that he was very familiar with. And then there's no reason to believe that he knew the students who were shot, including the ones that were killed. They were asked the AG Noronha was asked what was the thing that was said when he opened fire, and he said that some of the people said that it was like a yell, and others have said it was more like a barking, but it was not distinguishable words. So again, he was here on a student visa in 2000, took classes until 2001, so about a 6-month period he was going to class, and then he withdrew in 2003. He stopped going to classes in 2001, but it took him a little while to actually formally withdraw. And then in 2017, he became a legal permanent resident. So all of the, you know, suspicions that were out there that this is some kind of a Muslim terrorist did not turn out to be true. This is somebody who, again, we don't know his motivations, but he knew the Brookline professor, apparently. They were in the same academic program in Portugal in the 90s. And what would have been, from what one expert was saying, would have been a relatively small program. So they probably were aware of each other, if not friends. And that maybe he did stay in touch with them here in America, but they have no evidence of that right now. So this could have been a very targeted thing based on, and again, this was just a speculation that they were saying on television, maybe he was upset with Brown for the way his life turned out, blame them for the fact that he couldn't hack it there and went there and took out his revenge. And then maybe he was jealous of this professor because here he is, the head of this very important program that's probably going to solve the world's energy crisis by figuring out nuclear fusion. And then, you know, gets all the accolades and all the attention. He's like, well, that could have been me. Or maybe he says, you know, you stole my idea, whatever it might have been, whatever crazy thing was going on in his head, that might have been what it was. So it seems like, at least until they can figure out anything more, you know, the speculation here is that it might have been a very targeted thing in terms of just his own life. So, but anyway, again, nothing formally said on that yet. So we can talk about that. Also, I have a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app for you to check out. Really, really little cool tidbit that I found out yesterday and I wanted to share with you. Rob Reiner, of course, who you know was murdered last weekend, he actually got his acting start right in our own backyard in Plymouth, Massachusetts at Priscilla Beach Theater. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app and see some photos from him back performing in that show back in 1965 when he was 18 years old and he was known as Bob Reiner. And when he was here performing in that show with his best friend, Albert Einstein, who later, when he became famous, went by the name Albert Brooks. So the two of them were in this show together. It was really the start of acting career for both of them. And it was in a play that was written by Rob Reiner's father, Carl Reiner, who also came to see the show as well. So again, photos of all that and the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. All right, let's go back to the phones, 508-996. Oh, and by the way, one more thing I want to just make sure I mention. Chris McCarthy broadcasting live today from Honeydew Donuts on Route 18 in New Bedford. Stop by and see him. He's going to be hanging out all morning over there from 9 to noon. Stop by, have some coffee and a donut with him. He's going to have an open microphone. People can go over there and sit down and talk with him. He's going to have all kinds of special guests as well, as he always does at those Honeydew shows. They're always a fun time. So they'll be over there today from 9 to noon. All right, let's go to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
My goodness, are you out of breath?
I need to definitely take a sip of my coffee now. So you talk, I'll sip.
Okay. So yeah, I was listening to a retired Homeland Security and early this morning, and she was saying that they went to school 20 years ago, and they were in the same class. And he had got that storage unit back in November. And apparently, now I don't know if I missed this part or not because I was kind of running around early. So he used fake credit cards. But those are easy to get because you can just buy a prepaid credit card, right? And you can use any name. So I don't know if he did that from
Miami. I think for car rentals and hotel room rentals, which he was using these cards for, you can't use those cards. They have to have more identifying things. So he probably, you know, I mean, he's a very smart guy. He was a doctorate student in an engineer in a physics program. So he probably, you know, figured out a way or maybe just bought on the internet some fake identities.
Yep, exactly. So he had all that and he got the storage unit in November. And so now they're saying that he might have had something to do with the other professor that was shot.
They're saying it's definite now.
Yeah. And then, they did this morning, but I know sometimes you tell us to be careful what we say. And then they were saying that maybe this has to do with class reunion, that maybe there was he was not a part of a class reunion, or he was and felt insignificant because his life hadn't furthered on the way that their life had. And I just want to say to the worker in the bathroom, he had saw him 2 weeks prior to this incident, and he was so weird in the bathroom, and then he had followed him out to the car and then kind of like started walking behind him, chasing him. And then he saw the car and everything like that. And when he told the police that, the police were able to catch that car on one of those camera things.
Yeah, they used the camera system around the city to trace where he went.
Exactly. So, I mean, thank God he came forward, you know, with that. And, you know, I don't know. And it's one of those things you just don't know. It's probably just because his life wasn't as adequate. And the other professor, when she got shot, she was actually the one I think was involved with the fusion on top of that. So, yeah, maybe he just felt like his life just didn't go transpire as fast. I don't know what he was doing currently in Miami. Now, what was his position? Do you know?
No, they didn't. They didn't say anything about what he's been up to, and said they only said his last known address was in Miami. I think somebody had asked if they knew when the last time was that he had been there, and they didn't have an answer to that.
So that, I think that will be a big answer to that as well. And of course, President Trump automatically stopped those type of visas now. So
seems like an extreme reaction to it, but.
Yeah, a little too fast. I agree with that. And I've been busy all week, so I haven't been able to call you in the mornings. I've been helping a friend, but today I'm like, yay, I get to call in. So, yeah, it's been a good week of radio and everything. Enjoyed listening to you all week. It's been interesting. A lot of good callers, too, this week, I noticed.
Thank you, but before I let you go, I got to ask you, what's the worst Christmas song?
Silver Bells.
You don't like that one?
No, it gets on my nerves. I don't know why. I mean, it's lovely and all, but and there was another one. I can't even think of it now. You played it twice too. Well, part of it, and then
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
No,
because I played the U2 one and the Darlene Love one.
Yeah, no, those are all right. Okay. I'm just so used to it now. It just goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, that's pretty much how everything that I say goes, so I can understand that.
I wouldn't say that, Jim. All right, well, listen, you have a rule of a weekend, whatever you do.
You as well. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
And 508-996-0500. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. It was funny that you brought up about the sign language thing, because I was thinking the same thing. The first night when they were talking, they had the lady on, and she was intense with her facial expressions. Now, the next day, because it was sort of because they basically just repeated everything the first couple of days. So now the second man that came on the next day, he had very mild expression, a lot of inquisitive looks. And then the third fellow that came on, you know, the day after that, he was like in between the two. And I always wondered, because I'm always amazed by sign language, how to understand it. But I always wondered if the facial expressions were that important in it, because they seem to be so different person to person.
Yeah, I guess it's the same way where, you know, I might be more animated in the way that I speak compared to somebody else. Somebody else might have a very monotone delivery as opposed to somebody else is very excited and yells a lot. So it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, it was just so strange. Because like I said, when the police chief got on, he basically said the same thing more or less 3 days in a row, because they didn't have any information. But the interpreter was like totally different from what he was saying. And I said, wow, I don't understand this. And, I've looked into sign language because I wanted to learn it. I just can't figure how to do it, unfortunately. But I was wondering how the expressions were. And you sort of cleared that up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about learning it myself because I knew someone who had some hearing problems and they use sign language. So I was like, well, if I learn this, then I can communicate better. And so I looked into learning it. Once I found out that the facial expressions were part of it, I was like, oh, I don't think I could do all of that. Just making my hands go and my face go at the same time are too much for me to remember was my concern.
Definitely. Well, you have a good holiday, my friend. It was great talking to you.
You as well. Take care. And 508-996-0500. I mean, seriously, like I took guitar lessons and all I kept thinking was there's no way I could ever remember how to do this and sing at the same time. And my guitar teacher was like, no, it becomes natural. Like knowing that you're singing a certain line makes your hand go to a certain spot. I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say. You're great at both, you know? I'm not of the mindset where I don't think I can do two things at once like that, you know, but it turns out I probably could. I mean, I move my hands around and talk all the time here in the studio, but I don't know. 508-996-0500. I've got to get a break in here. Before I go to that break, though, you are probably thinking to yourself when you turn on those Christmas lights every night now, I cannot imagine what this electric bill is going to be. Well, by next Christmas, how about not even worrying about that at all? Because you could be going solar with Isaacson Solar and then all your electricity concerns go out the window because you'll be saving money and eventually getting to the point where the power company is paying you. How does it work? Let Isaacson come out and explain it all. If you go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, ISAKSEN, isaacsonsolar.com, you can set up an appointment for them to come to your home, tell you if you're a good fit for solar, show you all the different options. It doesn't have to be on your roof. And then they can talk to you about what it actually means to go solar. And if it's the right fit for you, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. So check out their website, isaacsonsolar.com, for more information.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family. The suspect in the Brown University shooting has been found dead. A family suing a hospital over a bone mix-up and four killed after the latest drug boat strike.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A man believed to be the suspect in the Brown University shooting has been found dead after police swarmed a storage facility in Salem, New Hampshire last night. The man is suspected of killing two students and injuring nine more people after opening fire inside of a Brown classroom on Saturday. Police are also investigating a potential link to the Monday killing of MIT professor Nuno Loureiro. Providence Police Chief Oscar Perez identified the man as 48-year-old Claudio Neves Valenti, whose last known address was in Miami. Perez said the man was found dead after taking his own life. The Pentagon says four people were killed in the most recent strike on an alleged drug boat in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. The announcement came as the Senate Armed Services Committee was shown a full video of the September 2nd double tap strike on another boat.
Because of classification, I can't tell you what's in the second video, but I can tell you that I was shocked and sickened.
Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Connecticut Democrat, says he thinks the withholding of the footage from the American public is unjustifiable. U.S. Southern Command has posted video on social media of this week's strike, writing that it was ordered by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, and the vessel was traveling along a known narco-trafficking route. President Trump has installed new plaques to the Presidential Walk of Fame outside of the Oval Office. The White House says Trump wrote many of the plaques himself. The ones installed under President Biden and President Obama are critical of the former commanders-in-chief. Biden's plaque refers to him as sleepy, crooked, and the worst president in American history. Meanwhile, Obama's plaque calls him one of the most divisive figures in American history and claims that he spied on Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. The family of a former employee of Henry Ford St. John Hospital is suing the Detroit hospital for staff members losing part of her skull during a surgery in 2023. Edna Burton worked for the hospital for over 20 years and had surgery to relieve brain pressure after she suffered a stroke.
We think it's asinine that, you know, they're suggesting that she's better off with, the artificial skull compared to her natural God-given chunk of her skull.
That's attorney Cameron Bell, who is representing Burton's family. Staff told her family a few months later that the piece of her skull that was removed was mixed up with bones from another patient, Edna Brown, and they provided a prosthetic plate instead. Burton is now bedbound, needs a feeding tube, and has not talked since after the surgery. Family was given a $25 gas card by the hospital for the loss of the skull. Legislation that would ban gender transition treatments for minors is advancing through the House with GOP support.
The legislation criminalizes gender transition surgery or supplying hormones to minors and would make those who provide gender transition treatments subject to up to 10 years in prison. The bill passed the House mostly along party lines, with Democrats saying the legislation tramples on parental rights and allows politicians to make deeply personal decisions for families. The bill may not have enough support in the Senate to get past a filibuster. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle is reporting the discovery of a voodoo doll in New Orleans. The felt doll was found tied to a tree where ongoing federal roundup of illegal immigrants has led to protests. The doll wears clothes labeled ICE and has a lot of pins shoved into it. Merle stated that it's a sign of desperation that pro-illegal immigration radicals are having to resort to voodoo dolls. The last U.S. pennies minted have sold for over $16 million.
Production of the copper-plated one-cent coin was stopped this year as each coin was costing four times more than it was worth in U.S. currency. Last week, the last of the U.S. pennies were sold at auction in about 233 coin sets, with each one including a commemorative 24-karat gold penny. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The Texas Heartbeat Act, which bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, has had a huge impact. A new study found that since it went into effect in 2021, it has saved thousands of unborn lives.
This study just confirms that Texas is on the right track.
John Ciego with Texas Right to Life. The study was published in the Journal of American Medical Association and found that abortions dropped more than 18% since the law's enactment. The steepest drop was among minors.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Bruins lost to the Edmonton Oilers last night, 3-1. The Celtics will be in action with the Heat tonight at the Garden, 7 p.m. tip-off. And Sunday Night Football, it's the Patriots in Baltimore with the Ravens at 8:20.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
A high wind warning for today and tonight, gusts of 50 to 60 miles per hour. Meanwhile, rain likely, heavy at times. A few isolated thunderstorms, temperatures upper 50s during the morning, 40s later in the day. Clearing, windy, colder tonight, lows in the upper 20s. Sunshine, dry, blustery on Saturday. Temperatures cooler in the lower 40s. Partly sunny, windy, and dry Sunday with a high of 48. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petraca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, it is time to check in with Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
I'm assuming you guys are probably very busy over there getting everybody's holiday meals ready and planning all the platters and all that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on today, brother. A lot of stuff. I got octopus, I got chops, I got prime rib, I got chicken, I got yams, I got sweet potatoes, I got sweet bread, soup. I got everything, brother. You know what I mean.
Seems like a good soup day to me today.
Oh, big soup day. Big prime rib day, too, man. I got a lot of prime rib. I got nice celebrities coming in. I got, Terrace Major. I got everything, bro.
And it's not too early to come in and pick up your Christmas meal. What are your hours going to be for the holidays coming up?
Oh, the holidays are going to be what? Christmas Eve, we're going to be open from 8 in the morning, about 7:30 to probably like 5 o'clock.
So people can
Christmas
still come
Day
by.
And will be closed. That's it. Christmas Day, nothing.
They can still come by and grab something if they need something to put on the table for Christmas dinner.
Yeah, I'm going to get last minute stuff. It's going to be a lot of food out, man. Come grab what you want, man. Grab and go.
And by the way, you got a nice shout out yesterday from Barry Sylvia. He was raving about the celebrity pork chops on the air with us. So.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Thanks, Barry.
And of course,
see, Barry's all right.
And as I mentioned, you guys prepare platters too. So if people are having folks over for New Year's Eve, if they want to get something made nice and easy that they can just put out for everybody, you can take care of that for them.
Yeah, man. Call if you need something. We can do it quick. And honestly, today they're already doing parties. You want stuff, let us know. Come by. Come grab some stuff. And that's it, man. I got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of weekend parties, I'm sure.
And you're cooking up some stuff as well, too, if people want to come and grab a nice hot lunch on a rainy day.
You got it, brother. I got it all.
All right. Well, thank you so much. So we got the holiday break coming up, so I'll call you on the next couple of Tuesdays so we can make sure we keep people up to date with everything going on.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's right. Yeah, today's a fish day. Don't forget, people. Come get your fish.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, I remember last week. Do you have the lobster rolls this week?
No, not this
okay.
week. This
All
week's
right.
We got lobsters, though. We got a full tank of lobster, man. Good price, $12.99 a pound. Can't go wrong with that, brother. Nice hard shell.
Because I reminded everybody about the lobster roll, and I got a message from somebody that said, oh, thanks for telling me. I'm going down there to get one. So hopefully they did.
Yeah, I'm sure they came. You know what you're telling them, too? I got Prime. I got Choice and Prime. I got a lot of stuff, man. Come on down.
You got to just walk in and see it for yourself. The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. All right. Well, we will talk to you on Tuesday.
All right, I'll talk to you, brother. Merry Christmas, man.
To you as well. Take care. And that is Eric over at the Butcher Shop. And again, stop in, walk around, see all that they have to offer. Go downstairs, check out the beer and wine. Maybe grab a nice bottle of wine for the Christmas party you're going to this weekend. Everything from a $5 bottle of wine, that's still a very good bottle, even though it's $5. Everything from a $5 bottle of wine to a $500 bottle of wine. It's all right there for you at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. You bring something from there for a party, you'll be the hero. All right, 508-996-0500 is my number if you want to call in and chime in. Our Fun Friday question today brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. What is the worst Christmas song of all time? I'm going to be playing one that got a couple of votes coming up when we come back from the next break. I don't want to ruin it because if I say it out loud, if I say what it is, people are going to turn the radio right now. But if I play it coming back from the commercial and they're not expecting it, they'll say, okay, it's only like 30 seconds of it. I can suffer through this to get back to the conversation. It's that bad. But what is the worst Christmas song of all time? That's our Fun Friday question brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. And I've been keeping an eye on some of the answers that have been coming in. And I there's a lot of dislike for Dominic the Donkey. A lot of dislike for I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. And I think, you know, and a lot of dislike for All I Want for Christmas Is You. But can we admit that the issue with All I Want for Christmas From You isn't that it's a bad song? It's just that it's overplayed. So 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
Christmas Shoes song, and that's the one that I've gotten a lot of votes for. People just despise that song. So that's why I didn't want to tell you ahead of time, because if you knew I was playing it, you might be like, no! And I'm also intentionally, if you say this particular song, I'm not going to play it. Even if everybody voted for it, I'm not going to play it, because I'm not going to do that to people. I'm not going to whamageddon somebody intentionally. I think I've made it this far so far. Now, if you're not familiar with whamageddon, it is seeing how far you can go without hearing Last Christmas by Wham. You know, Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you returned it and used the money to buy socks. I don't think those are the right lyrics. But anyway, the idea is you try to go as long as you can without hearing it, And I think I've gone this far so far because I know I heard an instrumental version of it the other day when I was in the store, but that doesn't count. It was like some modern instrumental version of it. That doesn't count. It has to be the original. But there was one, I think it was last Saturday, as I was walking around, it was in my head and I was singing it, but I don't think I heard it somewhere. I don't think I picked it up somewhere. I think it just popped into my head. My head is full of all kinds of weird things. You know all those little things that I'm playing for you before the Gen X file starts? My little throwback thing before we get into the actual Gen X files? All of that I'm playing because all that stuff just exists in my head. So today I played, you know, winners don't use and users don't win, so don't use drugs, don't use drugs. And I played that because it popped into my head randomly yesterday. And I wrote it down and said, use that one tomorrow. Like, these things just float around in my head all the time. Things that I haven't heard for 30 or 40 years just pops into my brain. And so that might have been what happened. So I don't think I've officially been whamageddoned yet. But I'm not going to intentionally do that either. I'm not going to ruin somebody else's streak here. 508-996-0500. We also talked about earlier the city, well, the New Bedford Port Authority has responded to the OIG report. And this response came from Gordon Carr, the director of the New Bedford Port Authority, regarding that report that basically said, hey, DCR and New Bedford Port Authority, neither one of you should be handling the Pope's Island Marina. When for years, the city's been saying, no, we should be the ones handling Pope's Island Marina. And in fact, please get DCR out of our way because they're the ones that are supposed to be doing these things and they're not. But the issue with this report is that they did not speak to anybody from the Port Authority. They did not speak to anybody or request any documents about budgetary things and what's gone to what and what's paid for what or receipts or anything like that. And they were asking for part of the argument of them not of them saying that the Port Authority and DCR shouldn't be able to take care of this is, well, they don't have the records for where they've spent this money. Well, because they're asking for records from the 90s. They're asking for records that go well beyond the time that they're legally required to keep records. And these are not electronic records. These were paper records. So yeah, at some point they're going to say, we don't need those anymore. It's been 20 years and nobody's asked about them. So there's speculation here that the timing of this is suspect, that this report comes at a time when they want to put this out to bid to see who else could take it over. And it's trying to push out the Port Authority from being able to manage this. Meanwhile, the city, Mayor Mitchell has said right here on the airwaves, we'd prefer that they just sold it to us. We'd prefer that they just transferred that to us. And we'll put the $5 million investment into it that it needs for the infrastructure repairs. This is Pope's Island, by the way, not State Pier. State Pier is a whole different animal. But that's what this is about. Is there's too many people, too many organizations involved in this that aren't working together, that don't have the same common goals. And the city is basically saying, hey, we're running it. We're responsible for running it. We've got a waiting list of people waiting for slips there. We've made upgrades to the rest of the facility with the bathrooms and things like that. Just let us do the rest. But for some reason, there's a reluctance to turn that over. So I don't know necessarily that this argument, this battle between these sides is going to end up working out in the favor of, you know, does this go before a judge? And the judge says, you know what, just let the city take it over. I don't know. But it's interesting that they're the way that they're approaching this. That the OIG's office is basically saying, here's our report without having talked to anybody involved, without interviewing anybody, without requesting any documents. It seems like, as the saying goes, the fix is in. They didn't ask for those things because they didn't want to find that the conclusion might not be the conclusion that they wanted to reach. So pay attention to this. This is going to be, I know it doesn't sound like a big deal to people who are like, well, I don't own a boat. What do I care? The only time I'm ever near Pope's Island Marina is when I'm stuck at the, waiting for the bridge. Like, well, what do I care? Well, you should care because this is basically, you know, trying to push out the city of New Bedford from something that by rights really should be run by the city of New Bedford. When the state agency that they put in charge of it, that they say, well, the state agency that they say is the ownership of it, doesn't want to do what they're supposed to do. And the city is saying, please, well, the Port Authority, I guess I should say, is saying, please, just let us do it. Let us have it. 508-996-0500. Let me get my final break in here. By the way, Chris McCarthy is going to be broadcasting live coming up at 9 a.m. from Honeydew Donuts on Route 18 in New Bedford. Get on over there. Have a donut and coffee with him and Walter and all the great folks over there. You can meet Matt the intern. You can sit down and talk with Chris, and he's going to have a whole lineup of great guests over there throughout the next 3 hours. So head on over to Honeydew Donuts, Route 18 in New Bedford. Let me get this break in. We'll be right back. All right, there's my least favorite Christmas song of all time, Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses. But I'll say this, it's musically a much better song than I thought that it was. You know, like the actual instrumentation of it is good. I don't like it. But I played it. Didn't want you to think I was going to play the ones you don't like and not play the one that I don't like. Getting a whole bunch more votes for Dominic the Donkey. Skeddy says it. Ken Pittman says it. Getting more and more votes for that one. Also, Kathy says, thanks for not playing the Wham song. Now it's playing in my head. And Josh says the Glee version of Last Christmas is better than Wham. So I'm not going to play any versions of it because I'm not going to Whamageddon anybody. All right, Chris McCarthy will be broadcasting live from the Honeydew Donuts. He's making his way over there now on Route 18. So if you want to go hang out with him and be part of the show, you can do that. I'm going to be sticking around for a few minutes after the news until he's settled in and ready over there. And then he can take your phone calls, too. You don't have to be there in person to speak with Chris. You can call at 508-996-0500. And then I'll be over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits today, 4 to 6 p.m. for their big holiday mini tasting. So plan on getting yourself over there. They're going to have all different things for you to try. And, of course, it's anything that they're trying, anything that they're tasting will be 10% off. So it's a great chance to get out there and explore and try some new things that you didn't know that you liked before, especially things.